this is Olivia.
And this is Robin, and you're listening to K-Pop Hot Sheet. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and YouTube at K-Pop Hot Sheet, and rate us on Apple Music and Spotify if you enjoyed the show. So today we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive into the history of BTS. We've talked about doing this for a while because I'm not super familiar with BTS. Obviously, I know some of their ridiculously popular songs and have heard of them. But I would say in terms of K-pop groups that I know about, they're one that I never got into them. I don't hate them. I don't dislike them. They just were never my thing. And that's fine. So don't come for me, ARMY.
Yeah, I think if like they came around when maybe you were into like SHINee, GOT7, I think maybe you would have gotten into them. I think they just kind of came later. And it just naturally happens because even now, right, like as we grow older, like I don't know all the groups, and you might hear some groups here and there, the ones that make it, but you're not there from the beginning like we used to be, you know, for some groups like Girls' Generation. I was there from like really their beginning, Big Bang, etc., right? Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of is just what happens naturally. And maybe they're also not your style, who knows? But I'm curious to see, because maybe you haven't fully delved into maybe their earlier songs or some songs that you haven't heard because you've heard more of the more popular ones. So that would be cool to see too, if like you have a change in mind of like, oh, like I can see the hype, or I can see, you know, why people like them, and maybe you also like some of these songs.
Yeah. And I think like there was, I'll fully admit to it and own up to it. I think there was an element of bitterness perhaps that they blew up and seemed to have gotten so gigantic, because I was like, well, hello everyone, like SHINee is over here, even EXO. I was like, why is it just BTS? This is unfair.
Well, and for a long time there was a battle between like XOLs and Big Bangs, BTS's ARMY, because they kept going like, who's better, and even then in an essence they started getting a little bit bigger, but then EXO was still kind of like, but EXO's still dominating in Korea, like you guys are international. And then they just overtook even that, you know, like fully, like Korea and international, and it just became like EXO stopped putting out as much music too, like, so. Definitely. I see where you're going. Like, why did they just break the mold out of all these other groups that just were destined to be successful? Because first of all, they also came from big companies, SM Entertainment, you know, JYP, versus them coming from Big Hit, which was like, who the hell? And Big Hit only had BTS. So it's even more unimaginable, right? Like, how did you break through with one freaking group?
Right. And it was like the bitterness was born out of jealousy, too. Like they had so much merch and they had all of these very accessible things at a time where it was like harder to get some stuff from your favorite groups. So even, for instance, when we went to M Countdown and we went to like the SM Entertainment Complex thing, the COEX or whatever it used to be called. I don't think it exists anymore. But I was like trying to buy all the SHINee and FX merch. And even within that environment, we were given like free swag, and half of it was BTS stuff. But I think it's just because, like,
what year was that?
That was like 2017.
Okay.
The amount of BTS stuff that is just like in the world for people to consume, it just is so much more, at least back then and before then too. Like, obviously before then it was even more difficult, so it always just made me jealous. I was like, I want to love the group that has all the things.
Well, it's never too late. They're coming back from the ARMY soon, you know, so you can always just kind of hop on the bandwagon now. If we can get you to convert, we'll see. Yeah, or at the very least get you to be a little bit less jealous or against them.
That's not a thing anymore, because now I can
she's like, disclaimer, guys, please.
Well, no, now it's so much easier to get stuff. I'm like, oh, I love Key, one member from SHINee, and he has got like his own merch that I can buy off the internet. It's not the olden days.
yeah he's great.
But yeah, I'm gonna test my basic knowledge of them.
I think you'll do better than you think.
Okay, I'm going to start with how many members I think there are. I think there are 7.
Correct.
Okay. Now I'm going to try to name the 7 members.
Okay.
So RM, formerly known as Rap Monster, because like, who could forget that name? Suga.
Uh-huh.
Jungkook.
Uh-huh.
V.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a Jin and a Jimin.
Yes. Good job.
Is the last one August D, or is that an alternative name for one of them?
That's an alternative name for Suga, but I'm surprised you know that.
Okay. Is the last one obvious, or is it going to be somebody I've never heard of?
I don't know if you've heard of him. I would assume you would, but like, he's not, I guess, that big, but he does have his own following as well as a rapper.
It's a rapper.
Mm-hmm. He's a rapper, and he's just like a ball of energy. He's like the best.
I have no idea.
J-Hope.
Oh, damn it.
So you know him, right?
Yeah, of course I've heard of him.
Oh, so I could have them though. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I did better than Enhypen, whose merch I do own.
And you're more of a fan, I feel like.
Oh, my God. I'm also going to try to guess what year they debuted. So I think that they were probably very early third gen. So I'm going to say 2012.
Very close. 2013.
Oh, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I know. By my
that
knowledge.
Was very good, because even I don't even know if I would have gotten that if I didn't know, obviously, if I didn't do my research. Okay, so shall we get into it?
Let's go.
All right. So before I get started, what I'm going to do is basically go chronologically right from 2013 to now and just give you kind of the quick hits. We'll listen to some of the big songs that came out during that year. Obviously not everything, because we would be here for like 5 episodes. And I'm curious to also get like your POV. I'm sure you've like heard a lot of these songs. Maybe you haven't seen the MV, maybe you have, but it's been a while. So it'll be nice to go through it with like, you know, a new refreshed sense, and then also getting some of the context, maybe a little bit behind the lyrics and what made them big at the time. Before I get into that though, I think it is very nice to highlight just kind of their accomplishments, because I think it will give you also a sense going into it and seeing like how they build themselves up. I want you to go in with that sense of like, oh my God, like, and it is really crazy to even when I was reading through of these, some of the stuff that you're like, wow, they broke through a lot of like firsts and records internationally, which is huge. So just to rattle a few off, they were the first K-pop group to win a Billboard Music Award. The first to perform at the AMAs, the first to top the Billboard 200, which, yeah, I guess like it's the 200 chart, but they got number one with Love Yourself tier, which is, I think it's pretty monumental. They had one of the most viewed YouTube videos in 24 hours with 74 million views. I'm not sure if it still is. It might have been topped by something else, but at the time it was record breaking. They were the first to perform at the Grammys. And also to be nominated for a Grammy Award. They had the most streamed song on Spotify by a K-pop group. The first K-pop group to be named Times 100 Most Influential People. The most viewed K-pop group on YouTube. The first K-pop group to sell out US stadiums with an S. First K-pop group to have an official US platinum single with Dynamite, which was surprising to me because I didn't really like Dynamite, but like whatever gets you there, guys. Let's see. Most streamed artist of all time on Spotify by a K-pop group. And what was another one? They were the first to have a US number one album on iTunes. And for a K-pop group, they are the most certified artist in RIAA history.
Okay.
That's the Recording Industry Association of America. It's a lot of accomplishments, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I hadn't even quantified them. Like, I knew it. I heard of it. You know, they broke records. But to like actually read through it, you're like, oh my fucking God. Like, how did they get here? Is it luck? Is it their talent? Is it a little bit of both? I don't even know. But maybe we can talk about it and explore it together. Any thoughts on just what you heard?
I mean, obviously, it's very impressive. I feel like I've heard all of those things kind of one at a time as they were occurring, but as a whole, it's obviously it's very impressive. It just, it almost like highlights the fact that the big three companies at the time dropped the fucking ball. That
well, they were trying. Like, it's not like they. Like, did they drop the ball, or was it just like they were so used to going with a formula that they thought would succeed? But BTS, I think, probably wasn't even maybe even trying to do that. You know what I mean? It's like almost like they were doing the opposite. We're just trying to make it, first of all, in Korea, just to be a successful group. So that's funny, though.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. All those years that JYP spent.
He's the person I was thinking about.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. It's interesting because, okay, I know you're going to get into the history, but like, what's the deal with Big Hit? I don't really understand where they came from. What's the BTS origin story here? Also, doesn't the name stand for something like fucking Bulletproof Boy Scouts or some shit?
Yes. Yeah. I actually wasn't going to go into, I didn't have any Big Hit history, but I could definitely.
Because like, essentially, all I'm really asking is like, it's not like Big Hit was an agency that had multiple artists, like, or I don't know, but from my understanding, it's like it's just a BTS that came out of that, which is wild.
Yep, I just put into ChatGPT. We're all good. I'm gonna give you a little bit of like what's happening with Big Hit and how they got here. I might have to. I don't want to go too far with it though because it's giving me year by year, so I might have to go back and forth with my notes. But Big Hit Entertainment was founded in 2005. So this is, let me do my little math, 8 years before BTS debuted. Sorry. I had to use my hands. I always do that. It's like stupid. Like I probably know the answer.
I do it too.
But it was founded by Bang Si-hyuk, which we all know, music producer who previously worked under JYP Entertainment. Did you know that? I think you knew that.
I feel like I knew that.
Okay. Initially, small company, struggled in its early years, facing financial challenges. From 2010 to 2011, he envisioned forming a group with a meaningful message, strong storytelling, and the lineup began through auditions and scouting. RM was the first member, and then the rest joined over the next few years, and each bringing like unique talent from whether it was singing, rapping, or dancing, production. So he also really brought together a team that really was talented in their own ways and bringing something to the group, right? To actually make the group, instead of like, let's say you're bringing someone just because like, oh, they have a pretty face and maybe one or two of them can sing, but we'll just like make them a group via marketing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying it's all groups, but it does happen. Versus here, it's like you had RM and Suga that are strong producers. Like, I'm pretty sure I've read in the past Suga was like, I was just going to be a producer if I wasn't going to be like an actual singer on stage. I don't think he really wanted to. Sorry, rapper. So yeah, so he brought together a group with different members that had something to bring to it. Jimin was known for his dancing as well. And we've seen him, like, he's very close with Kai too. I know they've done like a collaboration before and like they're great. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I think it was at the Mamas 1 year. And then J-Hope is also a rapper, dancer. Jungkook is like known as the golden maknae. He's just good at freaking everything, but generally like a really good singer. And then V and Jin also rounding up the singing group. V also acts. So just very talented in general. Yeah. So now we go to 2013. That is their official debut. The lineup was announced on the 9th of June. Then on June 11th, they dropped their first music video, No More Dream, which was from their first single album, Too Cool for School. and they had their official debut stage on June 13th. So No More Dream, you know, the significance of this track was pretty big for them back then. I mean, it wasn't big, like they didn't break out, but I think going back when people look at it, they see that it was a declaration for them to break free from societal norms and expectations. It really like talked about the youth, like the pressure that the youth in South Korea face. You know, there's questions in there of like, well, what's your dream? Criticizing the system that pushes them to follow predefined paths without considering what do they really want to do. So many people, in particular, younger generation, resonated with a defiance of societal expectations. So we can go take a listen to it. All right, Robin, what'd you think?
Okay. So I've heard that song and I even said, I was like, oh, I know this song, but I didn't know or realize it was BTS. And now I realize, I think I always kind of thought it was Block B.
Oh, okay. I could see that. Did you because like it though when you have heard it in the past? You're like, oh, okay, I like the song, I'm vibing.
I do. Yes, I do like the song. I feel like it's come up, like, this is back in the day before Spotify. I feel like it would come up on Pandora.
Oh my God. That really is taking us back in the day.
Yeah. I feel like it would come up on Pandora and I'd be like, oh, this is good. And I'd let it play and I'd probably not even see who did it. And then one time I did see and I was like, oh shit, this is BTS. But it never like
registered. Yeah.
Yeah. And now years have passed. But yeah, I do feel like I always kind of thought that was a Block B song.
That's so interesting. Oh, Block B was really good too. I like them. We should maybe do their history because I don't even think I've gone through them fully. But anyways, so that year they continued to release singles and a mini album, but they were still very fresh, new in a very competitive industry like we talked about earlier, which was dominated at the time by EXO and SHINee. And their debut...
As it should have been.
I mean, okay, they were rookies, so totally, like, that's not even... I'm not even going to take offense. Their debut didn't make huge waves immediately, but they did develop a unique identity that set them apart. They weren't just performing songs in the eyes of their fans. They were telling their own stories, their struggles, their dreams. So, like, and that became a key theme throughout their career, yeah, right? I'm sorry, later that year in November 14th, they did win Best New Artist at the Melon Music Awards. So at least they are, you know, kind of making a splash, but they're a new group. You know, New Jeans won that too. Maybe not the Melon Music Awards, but look at them now, right? Just had to drop them in there. Couldn't go an episode without them, right? Now, 2014, they kick off the year winning the Rookie of the Year at the Golden Disc Awards. So still, new group. They released Boy in Love in February, which we'll go listen to in a little bit. But this one was interesting because it was almost like a 180 of what we just saw in No More Dream, right? It's not this like rebellious teen stage. They're more mature, talking about like the struggles of confessing, and like they're still young, they still have that like, oh, I'm a boy in love, you know, like it's still a youth related theme, but it's a shift more like, let's talk about relationships, we're being more vulnerable. And this song performed pretty well on the charts, helping them gain a bit of a wider recognition in South Korea and abroad. But still, you know, early on, it didn't really make a splash fully. So let's go listen to Boy in Love.
Okay. So I also knew that song. And Olivia keeps asking me, did you know it was them? And I couldn't tell. Like, if you had just played that song to me and we weren't doing a BTS episode and I didn't see the video, I just heard the song, maybe I would know it was BTS, but I can't say for sure. I definitely didn't know it was the Boy in Love song. I didn't know what the song was called.
Oh.
Obviously.
Okay.
I would have been like, I don't know, say what you want.
Yeah.
I didn't hate that. Okay. Actually, I was just I was just looking online. I like that because this was what year? 2015?
This was 20. We're still in 2013.
2013?
Sorry. Did we go up to 2014? This the next year?
I don't know.
Sorry, this is 2014. 2014. Because it debuted. Yeah, this is the next year now.
What was I? Oh, okay. So 2014, I was like GOT7 all the way. This is, so I can see why I veered one way instead of this way, because this is very different than like,
Yeah. Because it's still, even though it has that like, oh, we're like a lovey-dovey boy, it still has a that edginess there. You know what I mean? They didn't fully, and I don't think they ever got rid of that. They do have that like duality where they'll have songs that are softer and they have songs that are more like bam in your face, edgier.
Yeah, I guess I didn't want those K-pop boys in my face.
So, okay. So later that year, they also released, let me get the name of the album right. They dropped Dark and Wild, which was their first full-length album. So the fan base in South Korea is growing, but still nothing intense, crazy. They got New Artist of the Year at the K-pop Chart Awards in February. And then in December, at the end of the year, they had their first MAMA appearance. So now they're going into the bigger and bigger award shows. Now, 2015 is the year which I think was a bit more pivotal to them. This is when they dropped The Most Beautiful Moment in Life Part 1. I believe it was a mini album. But that was like the turning point, and this is where they have the song I Need You. Sorry, it was a third mini album. I Need You gained them their first win on Music Bank, the first win on the show, probably other Korean shows as well. It became a major hit, and I think really started to place them kind of on the level of like a rising artist. Have you heard I Need You?
Yeah. I need you, girl.
Which is like even now still, right? No. And it was, I think recently was remade by a boy group. I don't know if it was TXT or Hype, and it was one of the Hype boys. Oh, and the other thing that I did want to mention here is this is the beginning of their setting the stage of the BTS universe, BU, which, just to explain it real quickly, is a fictional storyline created by BTS and their creative team, woven through the music videos, short films, and other pieces of media. It explores themes of youth, love, friendship, trauma, and self-discovery, often blurring the lines between fantasy and reality. So the BU follows 7 characters, which is paralleling the BTS members, as they face challenges throughout it of like loss, guilt, mental health, struggles of youth. So still, you know, those key themes that I was just talking about that came on from their debut. There's parallel timelines and alternate realities. It really goes really deep. I really have not, like, I can't even break into it, and I won't, but I know about it, and I know that like there's certain music videos that like connect and you can watch them. But I Need You and Run introduce the character struggles and set it. Then there's short films in the Wings era, which we'll get to when we get to that year and that album, and that dives into like their individual traumas and interconnected fate. And then there's the Love Yourself series, which is one of my favorite albums, which focuses more on self-love and redemption, resolving their character's arc. So it's very interesting, too, that they have this like theme and universe. And I'm also not sure if it was intentional or if they maybe started it and then it ballooned more, because I think it is also fan-based as well. Like the fans decode it through clues and stuff. Which is very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, because I absolutely laughed when you said all of that. But I do think it's kind of cool. But now that you say the fan thing, the reason I was like, oh, is because it sounds kind of like a Taylor Swift thing People, the fans are always assuming that everything is intentional that she does, and like all these Easter eggs and hidden clues. And it's like, maybe, or but maybe she, I don't also
know if she ever acknowledges it, or maybe she does now with like the eras, or
I don't know. I'm not a Swiftie. Okay. I'm not a Swiftie. I'm not a BTS person.
I'm not a Swiftie either, so I don't know. But this one, I know that the company actually acknowledges it. And it was funny because I never noticed this before, but when we clicked, when I was getting the links for this and I clicked I Need You and You Might See It, in the description it said like part of the BU, which is the BTS universe. I was like, okay, like they're really ganging on this now, like marketing wise.
Interesting. I wonder, honestly, well, yeah, because you said that this is when they start to like gain traction, right? I wonder if that has something to do with it, because like I was thinking about this when I knew that we were going to plan for this episode. I started to really think about like why I thought maybe they became successful when other things did not. And immediately, like, I always think of JYP and Wonder Girls because he tried so fucking hard, man. But I feel like it wouldn't work with a girl group because, like, you need teenage and preteen, like, adolescent, feral girls to fall in love with these guys and, like, be so obsessed. And I wonder if, like, the lore and the story and all of that was, like, a really good hook too, because I imagine if I was like 14 years old and this shit came out, mm-hmm. I would probably have been like hook, line, sinker.
And you know,
I'd be done for.
Yeah. And what I think also, because I'm reading through my notes here, like for BTS, for I Need You, I'm saying again, like, you know, these lyrics depict the turmoil of being in a toxic or one-sided relationship, but then many listeners connected with it because of the emotional struggles, especially during young adulthood. And again, goes back to what I was reading before for the themes of No More Dream. It's always connecting in like as they grow. It's always like some sort of theme. Like when No More Dream, it was about the struggles of a young kid, you know, going against societal norms and the expectations. Now you're going into like young adulthood, like love, and like maybe you're in toxic relationships, whatever. So I think it's also connecting to the fans. And on top of that, the universe, like I said, that's a connection with the fans too, bringing them into it. They have a role of like, let me watch this and digest this and figure it out. And I think you feel a sense of closeness to them, which bringing up Taylor Swift is actually a really good point, because her fans are really big and invested in her whole like eras and universe as well, right? Because I think they feel that sense of connection that I can watch this and I can relate to her, and like her lyrics just like make sense in my life. And I think they did the same thing. And the other thing that they did really well on social media as well was they had Twitter and Instagram, but only one. Now they have like individual Instagrams, which I remember even when they did that like maybe a couple years ago, I was like, oh my God, wow, like you really feel the pivotal moment where now they're becoming individual. But before it was like they're one group, and they would consistently post on those and even post like funny things and like really breaking that fourth wall of like, I'm an artist and you're a fan. And I'm just like this, like, you know, I don't know, this like godly being that you're supposed to just idolize and worship. And it's more like we're all like friends and we can have fun together. And it felt more personal and real, even their relationship as a group. You really felt like there was a true like brotherhood and friendship. And not to say that they didn't like fight and stuff. Like I've seen, you know, scenes from like their YouTube like documentaries, and they have a YouTube series, and you see them like having disagreements and everything, but they really go through it like a family. They still like, you know, we can disagree, but we can come together and still figure it out. Versus you could see like EXO, like how many people left the group, even Girls' Generation, someone leaving the group. Like certain groups didn't have the connection. You could see like who's left. Okay, maybe they're all still friends, but it wasn't that whole group from day one, like them.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, JYP really dropped the fucking ball because GOT7 came out around the same time.
Yeah. And they were like that. Like they're still together.
It's like there were these two paths that diverged, mm-hmm. and I ended up on the GOT7 path, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, whatever. And they're still big. They're still big. They're coming back now.
Yeah, I know, but they're not BTS big.
Well, okay, so it's interesting. To diverge, though, why do you think, like, what did JYP do wrong with them?
I mean, he did a lot wrong with them.
Okay, maybe we go into it in another episode.
I would just, to sum it up. I feel like he didn't invest the time to promote them properly, especially in the later years, but even early on. And even just hearing about like this whole BTS universe, and like you're creating this very rich like storyline to support these people. So you almost like, you almost have all the options available. You can be more drawn to this like larger than life character type of thing. You can be more drawn to the fact that they are each individual human beings. You can be drawn to the fact that they're individual human beings that form together into a really strong unit. And like, maybe that's appealing. Like, it just feels like there's a lot of layers. Whereas like JYP is just like putting GOT7 out there and he's like, see you later, guys. Good luck. He's like, I put all my time and energy into GOD and Wonder Girls, yeah. But like you're on your own, fam.
I think he made the wrong choices on who to like really invest on in certain moments in time.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Let's go watch I Need You. All right. So what did you think of I Need You?
I've heard this song before. Honestly, I've never seen this music video before. And Olivia was like, do you want to stop it halfway through? Like, you know the song. And I was really getting into it. I didn't realize there was going to be a stabbing. It was pretty intense.
Yeah. I mean, it's intense for, like, I love that they also are like, I don't care. Like, I'll do it, you know? Like, even so early on, they weren't going with, like, cookie cutter. They really stuck to their guns. But, like, we have a story we want to tell.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to lie. I feel like if I had paid attention and seen the music videos at the time that this stuff came out, I probably would be ARMY.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
It's really, this is taking a turn. I didn't see this coming.
This is what I'm saying. I'm like, I feel like it'll be, I am so curious by the end of this to be like, okay, Robin, overall. But midway, you're already like, okay, I'm digging it. Okay, so June 23 that year, we're still in 2015 right now. They also released Dope, which you've definitely seen. And that's why I didn't put it in here, because I feel like it's another big one. Do you recognize the one that goes Yeah, like we've definitely seen that one. That one also was a big hit. It also got number 3 on the Billboard World Digital chart. And then they also won. Now they're winning like past the rookie. They're winning Best Dance Male at the Melon Music Awards and Best World Performer at MAMA. And as I mentioned earlier, too, this is when they really started utilizing, this year is when they started utilizing YouTube and Twitter to connect with fans, which apparently was a novel strategy at the time. I don't think anyone was really doing that. It was more like, you know, predetermined, like what they're sending out, like, oh, album's dropping or whatever, right? It wasn't like a, hey, here's the phone, make some posts yourself, go crazy. So really gave them the power there, which was cool. Now we go to 2016. 2016 to 2017 is when their global success comes into play. This is where they came out with their Wings album, and You Never Walk Alone, and this really got them into the global stardom. In January that year of 2016, they won, I think in 2 separate award ceremonies, they won the Bonsang Awards, which is not like the Daesang, if you're familiar. Mm-hmm. That's like the major award. So the Bonsang is more like a, sorry, the Daesang is the grand award, and the Bonsang is like a major award, and like multiple artists get it. It's not just one, but they won some of those, which is great. And they released Fire and Save Me in May. And that summer, they headlined at KCON LA and New York. So you can see that they are getting bigger and they're in demand. So I don't have Fire because you've definitely seen that. I don't think you've seen Save Me. You might have heard it, but who knows? We'll find out. But it's one of my absolute favorites.
Okay, so I did know that song. I didn't like, when I look at the names of the songs, I can't sing them in my head besides like DNA and mm-hmm. I Need You. But obviously I knew that song. The video was good. I mean, like, I did like the choreo. I liked that it was just like, where were they, on a beach or something?
Oh, I don't know. It looked more like a mountainous place.
Oh, I don't know. They were all like dressed in street clothes, and it was a very 2015 fashion. Which, this is 2016. Of course.
2016.
2016. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. 2016 fashion. You're always
a year behind with them.
I did clock RM for his dancing in that. I felt like it was not.
She was like, who's the guy on the left? He's not sticking to the choreo.
He just wasn't. He must not be a dancer, and that's fine. Whatever.
He's not. Yeah.
But
still, even so, like, they still do pretty well synchronized together. But it's obvious why he's in the back and to the left.
Yeah. I don't know. I keep getting GOT7 vibes.
It's very interesting. Like, I'd love for you to do the same thing with me with GOT7, because then maybe I'll see that. I'm like, oh, I see where you're going with this. Because, like, when you say that, I'm like, I don't know what song you're referring to that, like, is similar. But I would be so interested to do the comparison.
It's like the vibe, which, I mean, yeah. Back in the day, like, everybody was doing similar-ish type of things. Like, everybody would follow the same trend or concept or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like the vibe. It's a bit of the songs. It's a little bit of the choreo. I mean, there are seven of them. Yeah. There's an alternate universe.
Maybe. Exactly.
Where GOT7 is the global stars of K-pop.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, this year is when Wings came out, which was very critically acclaimed album, and really helped them rise even more. And within that album is one of their breakthrough iconic tracks, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I'm sure you've heard. But this era was really, really huge. Helped them gain recognition outside of Korea. And going, you know, it helped them now start appearing in international stages, making appearances at major awards. So this album came out in October of 2016. So it's towards the end of the year. And the themes here is interesting, because you know how, like, in I Need You, you were surprised by him hitting him with a bottle and stuff. I feel like in Blood, Sweat, and Tears, you also see them almost, I'm pretty sure in this video, if I'm not mistaking it, because I remember they have a Japanese version, maybe that one's a bit more saucy, but you see them like taking some sort of drugs type of thing, you know, and it seems to go into the themes of like sin. You know, like, again, I just feel like they're not afraid to have these controversial topics and really go there.
Yeah, it seems very grounded in reality. Whereas, and I'm going to keep mentioning GOT7, but obviously where the divergence happens here is GOT7 is like wearing, you know, their donut sweatshirt, being small in a large bowl of cereal. Very not grounded in reality.
I love it. So some quick mentions just to round out the year before we go listen to the song, and when we come back we'll go into 2017. But Wings got them number one in world albums on Billboard. They sold out their Wings tour that they did that year. In November, they got Best Album of the Year at the Melon Music Awards. And like, I've seen the clip. They looked so funny. They looked so shocked. They really did not expect it. And RM, when he received the award, he said, this is the greatest award we've received since debut. And then on December 2nd of that same year, they got Artist of the Year at MAMA. And again, in an emotional speech, RM says, quote, we went through a lot when we debuted, and there were people that said we wouldn't make it. Thank you so much for believing in us until the end. This is something we only dreamt about. So thank you for making our dream a reality.
Cute.
So let's go listen to the song that helped do that.
Okay.
All right. What'd you think about that one?
So again, obviously I didn't know the song. I don't think I knew what it was called. The video was fine. I'm sure that if I was into it and I understood all of the imagery and story that they were trying to tell, like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. No, I think, Blood, Sweat, and Tears also wasn't one of my, like, oh, I think it took a couple of listens. I think only because now it's like I've heard it so much and I know it's like iconic. It more seeped into my daily, you know, like, oh, okay, it's a classic song. But I can definitely see that I felt the same way. It wasn't like, oh, this is an amazing song right from the get-go.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to 2017. This is where, you know, the Wings era and the Blood, Sweat, and Tears, like late October, is propelling them into this global expansion, major achievements. So early February, they came out with Spring Day and Not Today. Not Today is not my favorite, so I didn't include it for us to listen to. You can listen to it on your own. Maybe it's one of yours. I don't know. But Spring Day I like. I'm sure you've heard. And I think is one of the songs that still probably is still topping, not topping, but like it's still making charts and stuff. I think it's still popular. They did win top social artist at the Billboard Music Awards this year in May. Later on, they also released DNA, which you've heard, and with that they were the first K-pop group single to hit the US iTunes top 10, came in at number 4. Again, I didn't really like DNA. I'm surprised that that's what made it up there, but whatever. And then in September, they were the first K-pop artist to enter Spotify Global Top 50 chart. So this is the year of like really expanding globally and making their mark on these charts and everything. You could tell that, you know, their fandom was growing and was giving them their flowers.
Aww.
So let's listen to Spring Day.
Okay.
All right. So Spring Day, you weren't sure if you had heard before. I don't know if after the hook it sounded familiar, but your thoughts?
I don't think I've heard it before. I mean, me having not been a fan from the beginning, I'll say it this way. If I had been a fan from the beginning, I feel like that would have gotten me all up in my feels and I would have absolutely loved it. Since that is not the case, I was a little bit bored.
Yeah. It's a great song, though. Maybe you gotta listen to it more than once.
It's fine. I think it's just not my type of song. Like,
you're like, it's okay. And so, I mean, another big song that year was DNA, which wasn't my type of song. We could listen to it, but I feel like if you're fine with it, we can move ahead to 2018 because I think you know DNA. It was one of the songs you knew.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I've heard DNA probably a gazillion times in my life. Okay.
I think we're good to skip because it's really not one of my faves at all. But it was like a crazy. It was huge. It was like the first music video to hit 1 billion views on YouTube, which is crazy. So I was like, okay.
Well, yeah, that's why I've heard it like a million times. And it's not like I was seeking it out. It was just I felt like it was literally everywhere.
Yeah. That's funny. Okay, so now we're going to 2018. Continues their record-breaking success and mainstream domination. They continued their global ascent with the release of Love Yourself Tear, which debuted at number 1 on the Billboard 200, making them the first K-pop group to do so. I really, really enjoyed this album. It's like, I don't really listen to many albums start to finish, but I actually did with this one, and I liked a lot of the songs. The lead single was Fake Love. This one took me a little bit to warm up to, but I think because it was the lead and it's won a lot of awards, I think it's worth a listen. They don't have a music video, but I had the performance of them performing at the, I think this is the BBMAs, but I think they also performed it at the AMAs as well. So let me just see what else they hear. They broke a record with Fake Love as well. Got the most YouTube views within 24 hours. And like I mentioned before, they were the first group to perform at the American Music Awards. Took top social artists of Billboard's again for the second consecutive year. So just continued to ride the wave of their stardom.
Okay.
So let's listen to Fake Love and see what you think.
Let's see if I've heard it before.
Okay. All right. Wait, so I actually, correction, there was a Fake Love music video. So we watched that instead because we couldn't hear anything at the awards show other than screaming fans. So what did you think?
So that's just not my cup of tea. I'm not going to lie. I made a stop at my thing has stopped at 2 minutes and 54 seconds out of 5 minutes and 18 seconds. I'm no longer into it.
Yeah, I actually liked. Yeah. Fake Love again. It's funny because I think we have similar taste. It was their lead single, but I do think they had greater songs. I really like Magic Shop from that album. So listen to that when you get a chance to. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if like maybe here, because even like Dynamite that's coming up next in, you know, 2020. I also wasn't a huge fan. I wasn't a huge fan of Butter. I don't know if it was, I don't want to say they were pandering now to the global stage. Maybe. I don't know. But to me, they weren't as big as like the earlier songs that I could like Save Me and I Need You. I could always go back and listen to them. These I'm like, oh, okay. Sounded a bit more mainstreamy K-pop, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So, okay. So we go to 2020. As you may remember, it's the beginning of a pandemic, a global pandemic. So I think a lot of stuff kind of halted for them. I think they paused some of their world tour stuff, but they still released Dynamite, which was their first full English language single, which also was surprising because I'm pretty sure, you know, I mentioned before I had my roommate. When I was at Korea Boon, she was a really big ARMY fan, and I think one of the appeals to for her was also that like they weren't into pandering to like, oh, let me make an English song to make it global. Where going back to that thing that we were saying with JYP, like he definitely made English versions of Nobody, right? For Wonder Girls, like he was trying to make them global by making an English version. Whereas you see like Big Bang made it, Big Bang, I keep doing this, the B, dyslexia. They made it, a lot of their success was like full on Korean songs. They had not released an English song until 2020, almost 10 years. After their debut. So I also felt some type of way, but I'm like, oh, now you're releasing it. Why are you releasing it? Nobody really needs you to sing in English. Like, it's fine if you continue in Korean, you know? But nevertheless.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
thoughts?
I don't actually like, don't hate Dynamite.
Interesting.
It's catchy. Yeah. Like, whatever. It was almost like at that point, because K-pop in general, probably because of BTS, I'll give credit where credit is due, had become, you know, more recognized. And like, it back in the day, if people would ask me like what type of music I was into, and I'd say K-pop or Korean pop music, they would have no idea what I was talking about. But like,
right.
Obviously, yeah. Now people are like, oh, do you like BTS and Blackpink? And I'm like,
Yes, Blackpink is the other one.
No, no, yeah. Just kidding.
But you know them, yeah.
Well, I mean, I did used to love Blackpink. Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway, so yeah, so Dynamite did help continue that, though. They topped the Billboard Hot 100. Sorry, were you finishing a thought?
Oh, I was just saying it's one of those moments where, like, I came around to the fact that, like I said, give credit where credit is due. And, like, hearing Dynamite out in the world in places where you would never hear K-pop be played was, like, kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good, though. Yeah. That you're still, you know, you're like, whatever, you know. Even if I'm salty, bow down to the kings, you know.
Kings, I don't know.
You're like, oh, you're going a little bit too far. But anyway, so we're not going to listen to Dynamite because you know it. But there's another track that they also released that same year. And I think it still resonated deeply with pandemic lifestyle called Life Goes On. And I really like this song. I like the lyrics of it as well. And it just felt a bit more like uplifting, you know, in the face of everything that was going on in the world at the time. So let's go listen to Life Goes On. I'm curious if you've heard it. Maybe you have and you just didn't know the title.
It's possible.
As usual. Okay, so have you heard that song before?
I have not heard that song before. I actually did like it.
Yay.
I turned the volume up a little bit.
Oh my God. Did you have the lyrics on by any chance?
I did.
Okay. Because I really like the lyrics too. Like in the beginning when they're saying like, without warning, I'm paraphrasing, you know, like the world just stopped and there's like no footsteps outside in the world, which is true. Like I remember back then I had to go to the city probably for a dentist appointment or something. And I had never seen Times Square so empty. It was so eerie.
It was fucking great. I thrived. I'm so introverted. I was thriving.
No, I know. It was good, but it was also like crazy.
Yeah.
Like it's just like something that you would have never imagined.
Right.
Would happen. So I think the song to me, like I know Dynamite was supposed to be like, hey, an uplifting song for the pandemic, but this to me felt more relatable. Like, oh, you know, and also that like, you know, like an echo in the forest, like life's just gonna go on, like things will be okay again, you know, even though it seems like there's no end in sight, like there will be, you know, out of the darkness, the light will come. So that was to me more uplifting than Dynamite.
I mean, my favorite pandemic song is Dingo by Mamamoo, but
I think I know that one.
But yeah, I did like that. Yeah.
Okay, good. See, so I think it's like the songs that are a bit like not their singles. I got to find more of those for you. I think you enjoy those more like me. Okay, so we're actually getting close to the end now and not the end, obviously, because they're still active, but 2021, they've cemented their place. But this year, the members started focusing on their solo careers while they were preparing for the mandatory military service. And it was weird because this next song that we're going to watch, Yet to Come, when it came out, it felt almost as if, I don't know, people were a little confused. And I think there were some headlines too, because I think people maybe misinterpreted it. It seemed like they were saying like a farewell or like a hiatus to the band. And like, yeah, maybe they were in a sense of like, okay, well, we are going to kind of pause because we're going to take turns going to the military. We're going to do solo projects. But I think some people kind of in the media took it and thought, oh my God, like, is this kind of the end of BTS? And it feels like kind of like a goodbye song. And if I remember correctly in the music video, and now if you remember, because you saw Spring Day and stuff, like they have little scenes or little things in there. Like I think there's a train, which in Spring Day, they're on the train, that gives little nods to their music videos, which was nice. It was nice to have kind of like that holistic view. But, you know, they've had some other songs here and there, some singles. But this is kind of like our last song that I'm like, okay, this is before they come back and more present day right now.
Okay. And weren't they technically they could have been exempt from their military service if they wanted to be? Like, didn't...
I think there was... I don't know. I don't know if there's a rule. I don't think it was explicit, but I think also... I think they would have gotten backlash flack for
I
it.
Think so,
so I
too.
Think they made the right, like... PR move to not go that route and say, no, we're actually going to serve our time, because it's just, yeah, I think it was just easier to be like, okay, however many, I don't even think it's a full year. I think it's a couple months, but maybe it is a year. I'm not completely positive.
Oh, the normal service, isn't it like 2 years? I think so. Because yeah, I feel like the Korean government or somebody was like, they're a cultural necessity. I don't
know. People were trying like a definite, like in parliament and stuff, they were trying to like give them a pass. But I think even if they did give them a pass, I think they would have still done it. Yeah, it's 18 to 21 months, so not quite 2 years.
Okay.
But yeah, year and a half. I think I was confusing it with Greece. I think in Greece they only go for 6 months, but okay, let's go listen to Yet to Come.
Okay. Yeah, the past was honestly the best, but my best is what comes next. I'm not playing now for sure. Can that hang here to me? Book check. You and that
best moment is yet to come. Okay, so as I was saying to you while we were watching it, I just, honestly, for me too, like, it's not like one of my favorite songs, not like, oh my god, like I'm replaying it, but it's just with the music video and watching the lyrics and the stuff that they put in the music video, which pays homage to their, you know, all their big hits, it's something I can really appreciate. And it's so nice to wrap it up just to be like a moment of appreciation of everything we've gone through. And I remember in one of the lyrics in the beginning, he says, like, we were just, like, boys that love to make music. Like, we weren't even expecting all of this type thing. And the fact that, you know, in the past, like, yeah, the past was the best. We've done so much, but there's still more. You know, we still want to do more, but taking the moment to reflect, which is really nice.
Yeah, I actually thought that that was really cute. And since we did just watch a bunch of the videos, I, like, was picking up most of the references.
Yeah.
And it is, it's nice. It's nice for them to all kind of come together, release a song that's basically saying, you know, the best is yet to come, kind of like reassuring fans. We've made it this far.
Yeah.
We're going to go do the thing that we need to do and enlist in our military service. So what did they do? They staggered their turns so people could release solo stuff and like...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's exactly why they did it, but I could only assume. So I think like Jin went first and then I don't remember, but Jin's out now. Someone else is out too. I forget though. But yeah, they kind of went in kind of one by one. Some of them went in around the same time. I think two of them might have went in at the same time, but they've been really, they've released like singles and Jungkook did like a whole album. Which is great because they still kept the pulse of BTS
yeah,
alive.
Yeah, keep the momentum going, which is the smart thing to do. So yeah, I thought that was really cute.
And it's rumored that I think like a reunion or a world tour is probably coming up because I think they're all supposed to like all seven of them back by this year, if I'm not mistaken. But what's your like recap thought now that you've kind of seen them from the beginning to end? Of course, it's not like we delved crazy deep and listened to all their songs, but how do you feel after having a bit more of a taste of BTS?
I feel like if there was an alternate reality where I was either younger when they came out or if I had just paid closer attention, potentially I could be ARMY right now.
Okay.
But
okay,
neither of those things
but
are true. So as me right now in 2025 at my current age and life experience, I understand the appeal.
You don't relate.
Not really.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I went the GOT7 route because, like, if we were going to make a drinking game for this episode, everyone would die if they drank every time I mentioned GOT7. I'm so sorry. But I feel like I went the GOT7 route because they were like lighthearted, fun, like veered more into the kind of goofy fun guy side. And they did a lot of variety show type of stuff too, which is how I got really into Jackson, because I learned so much about his personality because he was doing shows. So like, do the BTS guys do that type of stuff? I feel like they...
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, they... I don't know if they did a lot of variety shows, but they had their own YouTube show. It's called Bangtan Bomb, and they released so many like games, and like they would go on trips. They did a lot, which was like I mentioned earlier, it was a big reason why they kind of had that connection with their fans more, because you got to see like, you know, a peek behind the curtain. But it was managed by Big Hit. It wasn't like they were going on these shows that the shows had an agenda and asking them questions. It was just them like having fun and doing their own challenges and games.
Okay, so that makes sense, because I watch a lot of variety shows. That's how I get introduced to a lot of individual members, and I can't recall ever seeing any of them.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because it's almost like maybe they were like, well, we don't need to do that. We'll just do... Maybe they weren't invited in the beginning, you know what I mean? So that's why that started.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah.
You should check it out. Maybe you'll start like liking them, their personality more too, by watching Bangtan Bomb on
YouTube. I don't know that I need to spend time doing that.
You know, when you're running on the treadmill and you watch random things, I think just put one into rotation here and there, you know?
Yeah, but I can't really read the subtitles. So if they're not speaking English, I won't be able to hear it. or I'll be able to hear it, but I won't be able to understand more than a couple of words.
All right.
I don't know. Like, I think this made me appreciate BTS a bit more than I did.
Which is fine. I think that's a great accomplishment.
Is it?
On my part.
What was your goal? To make me love them?
No, because I don't think
to convert.
I wouldn't want to force. Yeah, right. Like, come to the cult. No, I would never want to force anyone, right? Because I respect, like, we all have different tastes and stuff. But I think just the fact that you now understand them a little bit more and have, like, maybe seen a little, like, you've heard the songs, but just really dive deeper and gotten the context. I think appreciating them, to me, is a win. Yeah. Because it's like, no matter what, like, whatever, they don't have to be your cup of tea. But I think you can't get away from the part that, like, they really did revolutionize a lot of things and pave the way for K-pop to become even more global. I mean, maybe Psy really started that.
Oh, my God.
If we want to go that back. But he didn't continue it. You know what I mean? He had the one breakout song. Like, these guys, like, continued it and constantly releasing songs that, like, internationally and locally in Korea were successes.
Yeah, and built a fan base that are ride or die. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, I guess you could say most fan bases are ride or die, I would hope.
Not to like an extreme. Like, before we started recording, Olivia was telling me that Taeyang from Big Bang made a comment about like Big Bang paving the way, and that ARMY blew up his...
Oh, yeah, we forgot to bring that
up. They blew up his social media, all up in the comments, being like, BTS paved the way, BTS paved the way.
Well, then they're like the Beehive in that sense, because the Beehive will do that. But yeah, I think because they're younger and they probably don't know Big Bang. And I'm not going to sit here and argue that, you know, like, you really have to dive deep and say, okay, who really had the most success or whatever. But Big Bang was also big in a time where... globalization and being able to actually find K-pop dramas and music videos and stuff like wasn't as easy. You really had to seek it out or had a friend that introduced you to it. And YouTube was a big part of that as well. But even then, that's like the beginning. Like, it, I think it took a couple years to like slowly grow. And fortunately for BTS, they came around a time that I think they were more accessible to the public, and it was easier for them to... And I'm not trying to make it seem as if, like, oh, it was, I don't know, pure luck, right? But it was easier for them to become global stars.
Yeah, that is true. So, I don't know. Like, I'm glad that we did this. There's a lot of songs that I didn't know that I knew. I did really like those older ones. Okay, this is the last time I'm going to mention GOT7, I swear to God. But I recently saw like a little meme or joke video or whatever it was talking about like, oh, how are we as GOT7 fans, like old school fans, they're going to come out with their new release. They're going to gain new fans, hopefully, who don't know them. And how are we going to explain this? And it's like showing like the cringy stuff from their debut. So like girls, and like all that stuff. And I'll admit it's a little cringe looking back. And I didn't feel like the BTS stuff was as cringe. So I will give them the kind of
give them the flowers.
Yeah. That for being able to come out at that time when a lot of K-pop at the time, it wasn't cringe, but when you look back, you're like, oh my God, like what are they wearing? What are they doing? What is the song? What is this video?
Yeah. Like aged gracefully, I guess, through the years. I mean, mine, I feel like No More Dream, you could be a little like, oh, what are they wearing? But I think it got better.
Yeah, No More Dream was definitely the cringiest, but
yeah. Well, so you definitely have to do this for me with GOT7, because like I said, like I am a fan. I have heard their songs, but I don't think I've heard it to the extent that you probably know, like I knew with BTS.
Well, I will do that. We will do that this year.
Okay. And FX.
Oh, my God. We'll have to dedicate like four parts to FX because I will ramble on and on and on.
I'm here for it. This is like our podcast taking a new theme this year, which is cool.
Yeah. Well, until NewJeans does some dumb shit and we have to talk about that.
You know what? I kind of miss talking about them. I'm kind of curious. Like, what are they up to? I want to know what's going on because they were so confident. So,
I mean, that one girl used her work visa to go work in Japan like an asshole. Like,
oh my God. Ugh. Anyways, I hope everyone enjoyed the show as much as we did. I thought, you know, this was really fun and we've been talking about it as a topic from the beginning of the show. Finally got to it in year three, right?
It is.
This is crazy. That's actually amazing. I'm actually proud of us. Let's take a moment,
give ourselves the flowers.
We need a moment to reflect, because I just, the fact that we continued it, like it's not like we have international success yet, maybe one day we will, like BTS, but we just enjoy it. And I know we have listeners out there listening to us. I hope you guys continue to enjoy listening. And we'll try to, you know, hopefully do more content this year faster. I know we always say it, but 1 year it will happen.
one year it'll happen.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and YouTube at K-Pop Hot Sheet and rate us on Apple Music and Spotify if you enjoyed the show. You can also turn your notifications on in Spotify by clicking the bell icon if you want to be notified of new episodes when they're uploaded. So until next time.
Bye.